Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. This is a forum for folks who are interested in the intersection between depth psychology and archetypes, Jungian work, trusting your unconscious so you can move it forward into your life and create a blend between your conscious and your unconscious so you can actualize the work of your life, your calling into the world. And folks who are interested in the metaphysical, in intuition, and in trusting that journey with their inner self. So if those topics are of interest to you, you are definitely in the right place. I want to let you know that I have had some technical difficulties this evening, so I didn't have as much lead time to get on air. So I'm going to get our guest on right now, and then I am going to introduce what's coming up on Inner Voice, and then we'll be chatting with her. So, Pamela, are you there?
I am.
Awesome. Hello. How are you this evening?
Good, Jennifer. Good.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. I'm just going to give folks a heads up about what's coming up, and then we'll have pretty much the whole hour to talk about everything tarot, everything Steel Wizard, and about your deck that you're creating for children with your book and all of that. So I look forward to that. So next week on October 16th, the gentleman who owns Momentum 98, Philip Wilson, I'm a little frazzled because of all the technical difficulties, will be on. Not Phil Collins. Philip Wilson will be on. For folks who are in the Seabus area, Philip Wilson has a wonderful store called Momentum 98 that is involved in everything metaphysical, holistic. He's going to be talking specifically about the solar saunas that he sells and how they can benefit you in your life. I've been using this particular sauna. I've had some health problems recently, and it uses infrared light to decrease the amount of free radicals you have in your body, to get rid of mercury and high levels of toxins. And I can't tell you, I've been using it for 2 weeks, only two times a week, and my symptoms are almost gone. So I really am a big believer in it. Plus, it's just a delightful thing to be able to sit in that heat and to be able to feel that work in your body. So I'm really looking forward to having him on October 16th. And then I will be having, on November 13th, Ellen Siegel, who is a psychotherapist in the Seabus area, who does a lot of work with bridging the mind and the body, and has a wonderful business called Heart and Soul Counseling, will be on talking about the book that she's just written about how to be unconditionally happy. So I'm really looking forward to having her on air, too. So with no further ado, are you there, Pamela Steele?
I am.
Awesome. Very cool. Thanks so much for joining us this evening and for sharing all that you do.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I know that you do a lot with tarot. I had you on about a year ago talking about your Steel Wizard deck, which I got and have worked with and really, really enjoy. And I know also that you have just done a series of webinars with Roxy Sim as well for deck creators. And I actually mentioned those to folks in my tarot card classes as well who were interested in working more with the artistic end of the imagery, so and creating it themselves. So how did that go, having that experience? It must be so wonderful to co-create with another artist and another person who's really interested in tarot like you are.
It's wonderful. Roxy and I started the Tarot Deck Creators page over a year ago, and we had such an overwhelming response that we decided right after the webinars to turn it into a group so we could interact a little more. And mm-hmm. we've got, you're on there, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. But everybody who creates with and for tarot is invited into this group, because what we've done is each month a different tarot artist will be featured. They'll be doing the banner for the group, and that'll be up for the whole month. If someone wants to, if one of the authors wants to write a piece for that month, by all means, you go ahead. We'll document that and have that featured for the month. It's also a mentoring group, so that anybody who's putting out a deck has got all of this information that we've compiled, and that's really what the webinar was about, was how to, everything from different mediums you can use to how to market, how to network, how to approach a publisher, where do you go for submission guidelines, what is involved in everything from copywriting to ISBN and barcodes.
Oh my gosh.
It took in the whole thing, so yeah.
Yeah. I've noticed it's been getting a lot of people have been signing up for that deck creators page and have been utilizing it. I've been on there a little bit, and I just think it's wonderful how extensive the information is, you know.
It's one of these things that, okay, when Roxy and I first got ready to publish, she went with the publisher I self-published for a multitude of reasons. But what it comes right down to it is I've seen too many creators go into this and they jump at the first contract they're offered.
Right.
Or they go with this way to print because it's what they can afford, et cetera, et cetera. And there's so many options out there, not just for the decks, but for what you've got to say with books. So there's options. And we've helped some of the guys, or the members rather, negotiate contracts. We've held their hands as they're going through the different protocols for copyrights. They'll come to us for basic legal advice, like what about this for copywriting, et cetera. And the same goes for the people that are now publishing. Carmen Waterman just released the most incredible Rainbow Travelers deck. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. And Eric C. Dunn, who's another one of our members, he signed with Oscarabo, and they will be releasing in the spring of 2013 his Tarot Illuminati. There's so many amazing artists on that page right now with that group that are getting ready to release for the world their gifts, and it's exciting to be a part of it.
It's exciting to hear about it from this end. I'm working on a tarot book myself on Jungian interpretations, archetypal energies with tarot, how to use it as an intuitive tool. And I'm about halfway done with the writing part of it, and I'm in that position where I'm trying to look at publishers and thinking about and wanting not to go with the first thing that shows up out of the gate. So, and that's exciting to hear that you're, like, helping with ISBN numbers and all of that kind of more number-crunching kind of stuff, you know, less at the creative end of it, because I think people really need help with that sort of thing.
Well, wonderful. It's scary, and it's big. And what we found was that as artists, it's very easy to get lost in the art and the creativity part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you finally got your product ready, you've emerged from the closet with your coffee cup and your cat, and you're saying, okay, now what? And it's the now what. So we went in depth and found links and information and places that this is where you go next. And we're always going to be there to hold your hand and talk you through it. And if we don't know the answer, somebody's going to find it. Somebody's going to have it. It's a group effort.
That's awesome. And do you, for folks who are working on that deck creators, I know that you did with Roxy a series of webinars. Do you discuss those aspects in the webinars, or is that more just for people who are creating the artistic imagery?
Actually, it's for anybody who's getting ready to publish.
Wow.
We went through the whole protocol. We began with the different mediums you can use, because I remember very distinctly here a couple of years ago, Tiro Marchetti had posted a really upset, started a thread. Somebody had commented that if you're using computer programs to make your art, it's not real art. Well, he was angry.
Oh, my
gosh. And I don't blame him.
Yeah, I don't either.
Two of the new decks that are coming out are both done with very specific programs, and not only do you have to master these programs, but
mm-hmm.
each one that you do, each piece that you produce has got your signature on it, and it is as distinctive as if you'd picked up a brush and set up a canvas.
Mm-hmm.
There is
mm-hmm.
such an art. It's just a different medium, and basically that's kind of what I posted to him, and he calmed down real soon because everybody was going, oh, don't pay any attention to them. And I really believe that if we all work together as a community, that we're going to take tarot mainstream and
mm-hmm.
we're going to dispel the mystery about it and the misconceptions about it and all of the connotations that, thank you, Hollywood, have been added to it over the years.
Right, right. Well, I think it can be such a wonderful tool for actually the psychotherapeutic community as well, because
Absolutely.
It's based on archetypes. So
mm-hmm.
it helps to engage the client in their own storytelling venture. And I just think it can be a wonderful imaginal tool for a counseling relationship as well.
I could not agree more. I really couldn't. It's one of those things where it's becoming, there's groups even now that focus on tarot and counseling.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many avenues out there that we can take this that is going to not just enlighten people, but really help them make some wise choices.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's going to allow them to, with good conscience, choose how they're going to write their story.
That's awesome. And with these webinars, I had encouraged my clients to check them out. Is there a place to find them archived, or can you purchase them, or how, if you missed the deadline for the actual group, will you be doing it again? How would people contact you for that?
Well, you can contact either Roxy or me, Roxy Sim or me, but
mm-hmm.
Linda Marson with Global Spiritual Studies, if you just Google Global Spiritual Studies, you're going to hit her site. And
mm-hmm.
she's this absolutely fabulous tarot reader, amazing energy person who works out of Australia. And she's the one that actually hosts these webinars. And right
mm-hmm.
now she's got them available. You can purchase the downloads.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get a 3-DVD set.
Awesome.
And it comes with everything that we did in the webinar, except that you won't be able to, of course, read the chat room comments. But anything that came up that was a question, we brought into the session so that all of the questions, we think all of the questions were answered. But what we've told people is if you've gone through this and you still have a, okay, what's that mean? Get a hold of somebody. We'll be happy to tell you.
Awesome.
So,
on the
Global
creators.
Spiritual Studies, yeah. It's available right now as a 3D, and she made a really good deal to anybody on the 3-DVD set.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And that covers all the stuff on publication and
every
different
bit of
companies
it.
To go with and whether
Well,
it's
and not only that, but it's going to give you a list of potential printers.
Yeah.
Not everything from print yourself to professional printers who will take your deck or whatever you're publishing and work with you through this to get you to point B.
Awesome.
It also lists submission guidelines and a lot of the big-name publishers and smaller ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
because
however you want to do it.
I know there's a lot of emphasis, like you were talking with the whole self-publishing versus writing a publishing proposal and all of that, and I think there's a misnomer that people think you can only do one or the other, but it seems to me from what I've heard and learned that you can do both together at different stages in your own publishing journey.
And a lot of people, like if they don't have the funding, Carmen went through Indiegogo and set up a fundraising event for this. And so you could go in and sign up to just get the deck, or you could be, you know, you could get more and more, however you can choose, like what kind of a contribution you'd like to make to this deck. And I've supported every one of them that I could afford because they're all worthy. Everybody has something to say. And the people out there may not hear what I'm saying, but they might hear theirs or yours or someone else's, and they're going to tell two people, and they're going to tell two people, and it's just going to keep growing. So,
that's
awesome. I do support everyone that, like I said, within my budget that I can.
Well, sure, there's that practical aspect. Say a little bit more about what Indiegogo is, Pamela.
Indiegogo is one of those sites where you can – now, I know that the site itself takes a percentage. I don't know what that percentage is because I've not used it. But you can set up your project on Indiegogo and get it out there. Like Facebook seems to be the best networking I've found so far, even better than Twitter, to tell you the truth.
I agree.
And get it out there, and then people can go in and look over what you're offering. And you may offer, okay, and just your bare minimum, you're just going to support them, so you know you really don't get anything except a pat on the head. But the next step up, maybe it's $25 contribution, then you're going to get a copy of the deck. And maybe for $40, you're going to get a copy of the deck and assigned something. And it goes on, or you know, a bag, something that the people are offering, and you can get up there to where, okay, and with this contribution, you can get two decks, plus two bags, plus. So it depends entirely. And it's a great way to raise funding for publishing your own deck if you so choose, or books, so if you so choose to do that. And you can also, like for books, I ordered one, oddly enough, from Tarot Professionals. They'd used the Steel Wizard to do their illustrating for their Tarot Reversal series. And it's called Tarot Turn. And the first volume came out, and it's the majors that came out first. It's huge, huge. It is a crowdsourced book. So they had this person write the meanings for this card in comparison to this card, both reversed, or maybe this card to this card, one of them reversed, one of them upright, and it ended up a three-volume set, and they've only got the first one out, and it went through Lulu. And I was a little iffy on, you know, a print-on-demand thing, but I am totally impressed.
Well, I know there's another company called Create Space that works a lot with self-publishing. But you went through Lulu, you said?
That's what they did. They chose Lulu. And there's also game crafters out there.
Okay.
There's so many that are offering these print-on-demand options, which you don't have a lot invested in that respect.
Right.
And you don't need a lot of storage room. I mean, I got crazy. I didn't know when I first published The Steel Wizard that the average initial run is between 150 and 250 copies. I just thought, well, go big or go home, so I sold my house and invested in my tarot deck.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, it's insane, but I did order 2,000 copies.
Well, good for you.
Well, the first 250 went out the first day, and by the end of the week, we had hit 500.
That's wonderful.
Just kept snowballing, and I've got distributors, and that's another thing that we cover in that workshop is who's going to distribute? How are you going to get your deck out there once it's published? How are you going to get your book to the public? And because I am self-published, I allocate a certain number of decks, copies, per year to go out. And we just released, and I use the term we because I'm referring to my cats and me, we just released the second edition of The Steel Wizard, which comes without the companion book or the box. Now, you can still download a PDF, very, very toned-down version of the book. It's just basically the guidelines for interpretation on the website. It's free PDF. And there's also free spreads that you can download off the main website, too. But the second edition is a little different. I had it done on a different paper, a different cardstock, rather. The colors are a little more vibrant. I had them trim the borders more after much arguing. But the very first time I had these printed, I phoned the printer. I was desperate because everybody I'd talked to said either cut the number of the cards down or make them smaller. We're not doing this. And I thought, fine. I finally found a printer, and my first question was, will you print an oversized tarot deck? And he said, of course. What's a tarot deck?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And he did a marvelous job. I have no complaints about that first run. I'm just thrilled with it. But since that time, he's done 6 other decks. So when he sent me the breakdown on getting the second printing done, he had highlighted this one and said, this is the cardstock you will be using. Do not even look at the other two, you know, and left it at that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a process. It's a curve. And what we tried to do in the workshop was give anybody who's interested the benefit of what we had experienced.
That's amazing, because I think, you know, you can have this wonderful creative inspiration and be connected to spirit in terms of, you know, how you work with the cards and that sort of thing, but knowing how to go out there and create a product out of your process is a whole nother thing. And I think there's so many different ways to, you know, look at what the story of the tarot is about, so many different lenses to look through, and I just think the services that you're providing is wonderful.
Thank you.
It's really important. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I want you to get a chance to talk about the wizard pets and your work with tarot with children. I'm particularly excited to hear about that. I had taught in Montessori school for a while. And just think it can be such a wonderful tool for children to feel a sense of their own, self-possession about their story. And so I'm just fascinated to hear you talk about that.
Well, I worked with a bunch of kids last year. I was the guest artist for their project.
Mm-hmm.
And they did an amazing job. I was very proud of them, grades 3 and 4. And what I noticed most were behavioral issues, and I finally narrowed it down to these kids don't feel empowered. They feel very disempowered. And that kind of got to me. So what it came down to was, how do we blend spirit with common sense? I mean, we desperately need a good dose of common sense in all of this. And at the same time, or around the same time, there was several discussions on what deck do you start children with when you're starting them in tarot. And my 9-year-old granddaughter had said, Grandma, can I have a tarot deck? And I'm going, So I went through every deck, and I mean, there were multiple discussions, and there were several, many, many suggestions. And I'd look at them, and they either contained nudity, which, just because we live in North America, and there is all these, this Christian idea about nakedness, so you don't want to turn your kid loose with anything that could possibly be misconstrued by the neighbors. And it's important because their acceptance in the community is what it's all about. This is how they find their persona. And the ones that didn't contain anything that was, you know, could be construed as offensive, you couldn't read with them. They were just, they were useless. Well, pretty, but useless. So I thought, And so I started back and dropped back to basics, and I'm using the Rider-Waite protocol. So in other words, I have got a Rider-Waite deck in front of me. This is the layout. This is the format. This is what's going to be in the card. I'm going to use all of these elements from the Rider-Waite tarot in each card with a few additions. First of all, in the original characters developed back in 1984, we have a wizard, a dragon, a cat, and a gremlin. Now, the wizard is sort of like the mentor for the whole group. The cat is, well, every wizard needs a cat. The dragon was someone that he found. This is actually a free children's e-book at their website, wizardspets.com, Finding the Little Lost Dragon in the Woods Beside the Castle. And the gremlin who...
Hello? Hello? Hi, Pamela.
Hi. We kind of got cut up.
That's okay. So go on. The gremlin had, tell me what.
Okay. What it comes down to is the Emo is the gremlin. The cat's name is Jasper, and the gremlin is Emo. And that's because when my oldest son was 4 years old, he asked me what I would have named him had he been twins. And off the top of my head, I said Emo and Jasper. And he said, which one would I have been? And I said Emo. And, well, oh, he threw a super fit. But he didn't get named that. He wasn't a twin. What you never really see a gremlin. You just, you'll see his hand or maybe his eyes, but you don't see the gremlin. So the aces, always, always you will see the gremlin's hand holding the appropriate symbol. And then 2 through 10, you're going to find his eyes somewhere in the card, somewhere hidden in that image, or just a little tiny pair of eyes. In many of them, there's the cat. And what I've done is, it's a whole kingdom. There's this whole, it's evolved into this giant land that they travel and have adventures in. And so what happens is we've used the dragon slayers, which are the, basically the bad guys in the books, well, sort of, as the suit of swords. You have the wands for elves. You have the pentacles of the dwarves. And the cups are the people that live by the coast, the pirates, mermaids, sea folk, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the, that's going to be the suits. Now, here's the fun of it. As each image is completed, I started out, and I'm doing all this in Photoshop with a drawing tablet, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too old. My hands just can't hold a pencil like they used to, so that's okay. I started trying this and fell in love with the procedure because if I make a boo-boo, oh, well, I can fix it without starting all over on a whole new piece of paper. Each image that is drawn is left and saved as a black and white line drawing. There's going to be a 78-page, 7.5 by 10.5-inch coloring book with this deck.
Oh, that's wonderful.
The cards themselves, yeah, you can color your own tarot deck. And the cards themselves are going to be the same size as playing cards, regular playing cards, and they'll be borderless. The companion book is going to be color illustrated, and it's not only going to have guidelines for interpreting the cards, which is going to, there again, stick to the basic Rider-Waite procedure as close as possible for young minds, but it's also going to have a storyline that runs through it. So all of this is going to be included in the set itself. Okay? And then I woke up one morning having an epiphany. I contacted a guy who contracts to Pixar, and he's going to create for this deck, using the deck as a storyboard, a tarot-based adventure game, a video game.
Oh, that's what I was thinking when you were telling me about it. I was like, well, this would make an amazing video game
you know,
for little children. That's what I was thinking. So, it really fits.
Well, absolutely, because instead of the hack and slash and grab and run over and kill things, you have to learn, you have to really understand each card's message in order to get the pentacle or the sword or the cup or the wand to move on. And when you've collected all 10, you can move through the court cards, which the court cards are all dragons, by the way, different colors, but dragons, and move through the court cards and gather their wisdom and their messages to move on. It's going to be open-ended. So, like you said, we're not going to do this as a game. We're not going to bother with, you know, all of the creation and the production and the packaging. We're going to go with apps. So it's open-ended. You'll be able to add to each level if you need to. So as you learn tarot and as you challenge the archetypes, you'll be able to advance if you need to or choose to.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That sounds like an amazing project and an amazing way to integrate, like, archetypal awareness. And, you know, because I think that when people bump up against tarot, they see themselves and their own stories and their own lives and their own choices in it. And I think so much of our media that's pitched to kids is so advertising-oriented that you don't get that kind of overlay of how is this about me? How do I show up in this? How do I understand it? Or to be empowered, like you were talking about before. But it sounds like it's this wonderful opportunity for children to find their empowerment through these stories and archetypes. It sounds wonderful.
Well, thank you. And oddly enough, I mean, I've got friends who are very, very, very hardcore Christians, and I love them to pieces. I also have friends who are Muslims and Buddhists and everything else. But I find the Christian would be the most objective when you say the word tarot, they kind of bristle, right?
Right.
But once you get to showing them these images of just the little cartoon characters, like, okay, the Ten of Swords, in the traditional, you know, tarot, the Rider Waite Smith protocol, you've got a dead man with swords sticking in him. Well, in the Wizard's Pets, it's a scarecrow. So we've taken the scary and the horror out and just left in, like you've got the Nine of Swords, and you can see eyes under the bed. But it's just the gremlin. It's nothing that's really going to scare you if you think about it. You know, we know what the gremlin's all about. And it takes the mystery out of it. It takes the scary out of it. And I don't know how many have said, when will this be finished? I would like to see I want one.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm saying, well, gee, I'm working on it as fast as I can, you know.
Good for you. And are you still working on the images with the Photoshop, or where are you at in the process, if I can ask?
I got the four and the five of cups drawn. The pentacles and the swords are finished. I got the four and five drawn, but not colored yet. And what I did, because I started getting so many questions about, how did you do that? I don't use clip art. I don't use stock photographs. I don't use anything other than something I've done. So any clip art in the series is stuff I've drawn. So, like, I will do the cup, which are actually coffee cups. I will do the swords or whatever, and then use them throughout for continuity through each image.
Sure.
But what I'm finding with all of these is, once, as I go, because I'm doing them in order, I've never done that before. I've never tried to work through anything in order, is that it's giving me a different perspective than even I've ever had. And I've been reading tarot for 33 years, and I started with the Rider-Waite deck. So I'm really quite excited about it. Like I said, I'm up to number five. Yep, I've got five drawn of the cups, and once the cups, and then I will do the wands. Once the wands are finished, I'll begin the archetype. So I'm hoping to have all of the drawings done to go, ready to go by spring. I'm hoping.
Awesome. And when you say that you're experiencing a new perspective by doing it consecutively, can you talk a little bit more about that? I'm curious.
Well, when I did the Steel Wizard, I just did whatever one was in front of me. Like, it would just, this image would pop in my head. I knew which card it was going to be, and that's the one I'd do. But this one, I wanted to have a little more continuity. I wanted to be able to tell a continuous story throughout. So I started with the swords, and here's where we begin. And, you know, as the story moves through, I got to, say, for instance, I got to the Five of Swords. And I'm drawing this, and the story began to flow about the schoolyard bully. How do you handle the schoolyard bully? You see?
Right.
And so as I'm doing the cards, I'm remembering to keep the humor, keep the hidden humor in it. Because it's very important that people keep their sense of humor and, above all, their childlike wonder. Because if we can always remember to see the world through the eyes of a child, then, hey, how do we go wrong?
Yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting, too, that you're talking about how, you know, the gremlins, you just see the eyes under the bed, because children do so much in their own imagination with the concept of the shadow. So you really don't need to go so far as to depict it in this, like, very, very literal way. Children will fill that in, and they'll work through their own relationship with the bully or with that darker energy just by seeing those images and through showing up and being able to be empowered through the story that they're telling. So it isn't necessary to do all of those other images.
I agree. I think that it's going to offer them an alternative, an alternative way, because, I mean, I don't know very, very many adults who aren't really questioning, where do I go from here, what next? And it's not that they're asking anyone to predict the future for them. What they're asking is, okay, how do I do this? You know, I know that things have changed. I know that things are different now. I know we're all connected. I know that the world is holographic. I get all this. How do I make it work for me?
Mm-hmm.
How do I apply this in my life? And in this, I'm watching the kids, you know, just they're kind of getting glossed over, and these are the future. This is who
mm-hmm.
we're doing it for. And they,
yeah.
they are going to learn by example. I will give it that. I mean, there's no doubt that once the parent or the adult in the situation is clear and focused and concise and living their truth, standing and living
mm-hmm.
in their truth, that the children will automatically begin to do that. But I think that it's important, too, that kids have their own to explore.
Exactly.
Because let's face it, we all outgrow what we've learned from our parents. Core truth, when you're two, when you're a toddler, you can't cross the street by yourself. It's a great truth that if you try to cross that street by yourself, you're going to get hit by a truck, you're going to be dead. It's simple.
Right.
It's true. It's
right.
a belief. You know this. But hopefully after a few years, you've gained the wisdom and experience to safely cross the street. So the truth that your mother gave you, don't you dare step off that curb unless you're holding my hand.
Mm-hmm.
No longer applies. But how many parents actually come to that point and say, you know, you're ready to go. Let's see what you do. I'm going to
yeah.
stand here and watch
yeah.
you, but let's see how you fill this out.
Right. Right. Yeah, I just think it sounds wonderful. I can't wait to see it develop and get out there and all of that. I'll be definitely advocating that people get it for their kids.
Oh, there's definitely bright, I'll tell you that. And what I actually ended up doing was taking the Ace of Cups when I began the cups, and this was probably the hardest part of creating this deck was I got over 20 screenshots of exactly step-by-step how I did this. So that I'll be able to put together a how-to for Photoshop using a tablet.
What do you mean screenshots? I guess I don't know what that
means. Well, that means taking an actual picture of what's on the screen at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So as I would get to a certain point in drawing the picture, I would just take a clip, you know, take an image, a shot of that image, the whole screen, and save it and say, this is where I was doing, you know, working the layers up for this image because I do it in layers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One on top of the other. So if I need to go back and change the sky in the background because it's too dark and I want something brighter or I want to add some yellow, I can go back and do that
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
without messing anything up.
Do you find that you are more in that imaginary land? And I wonder, because I think sometimes as artists, when we get really involved in artistic processes, you know, that land or that language or that imagination kind of gets steeped into our everyday life. Do you find that that's happening for you with this?
Well, it does, but it's been there for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because I did start these back in 1984, and that was when I was in a relationship that was scary and ugly and dark,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know what to do. My
mm-hmm.
my boys were little, and I really didn't know what to do. So what I began doing was taking these really horrible situations and turning them into a funny story
mm-hmm.
with the dragon and the wizard and the cat and the gremlin.
Mm-hmm.
And it started a whole series of these drawings that became hugely, hugely popular. I would do a line drawing and then maybe copy off on some really good paper 10 to 15 of them and sign and number them and hand color them, send them to art shows, you know, matted, not framed, just matted. And they would send me a check, and I was putting a $15 minimum bid on them and, you know, a direct sale price because I wanted them to go to auction of anywhere from $75 to $150, and they were buying them and sending
wow.
me a check saying, send more.
Wow.
And I thought, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. They're cartoons. But there were collectors from all over the world who were going nuts over these things. And then when my ex and I split up, he sued me for 50% of the copyrights to those.
Wow.
And because of where I was, I had to wait 10 years for the statute to run out.
Oh, my gosh, before you could get the images back.
Before I could actually do something with him where I didn't owe him 50%.
Oh.
But that was okay. By that time, I started the Steel Wizard, and these really were on the back burner for, from about 86 when I established the copyright until a year ago, September. And that's when I started playing with them and writing the children's books, and they're just e-books now, but I'm really thinking about print-on-demand. And I've got an idea for 9 more, but then this came up with the tarot deck, and now the guy that wants to do the video game, the app for it, has told me, just wait on the stories, because I think this is where it's more than reading the stories, this is what they're going to want to see. Just do the deck. Forget the stories for now. Do the deck. So that's kind of where I'm focused right now.
Wonderful. How awesome. Very, very cool. Well, I wanted to ask you, too, about Tarot Apocalypse.
Yes.
I looked at it briefly, but I really wanted you to talk a little bit more about what it is and what it encompasses.
Well, we're going back to the original Greek word apocalypsis, which means to uncover. It's a revelation of something that has been hidden. It's to disclose, to reveal, okay? And what we're doing now, I believe, is uncovering the true meaning of tarot. You know, we're not talking about, Miss Cleo here. We're talking what tarot really means. And I referred to it on my website. Somebody said, you need a tagline. And I went in and I'm sitting there and I'm looking at, changing the taglines. And I wrote, the language of the soul. Because so many people from all over the world have bought this deck and said, these pictures speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, cool. So what we're doing is we're tapping into the quantum essence of intelligence. When we're working with tarot.
Yeah.
And it's that web of energy that we have that connects us all, But it's also the container that holds us. So when you look at things like the Big Bang, what they've reproduced and what they're able to discern is that once the Big Bang happened, 90% of the matter appeared to disappear. Where did it go? Well, what they're finding is that now that they've developed the material or the equipment to actually measure this, now they've named it the God particle.
Mm-hmm.
Because, say, for instance, between the nucleus of an atom and the first electron circling it, it's always been considered empty space. And now what they're finding is this empty space is filled with a quantum essence that is not only intelligent, it responds to us. And as it responds, we create.
Right. That's kind of the premise of what the bleep do we know, the idea of a potential energy that responds to us. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Oh, that's
a
lovely little documentary on the nature of personal reality. It's just awesome.
That movie. Yeah.
And the same
it's
with
amazing.
The Secret. It's about unlocking your potential. It's about being able to do this consciously. And what they have found, what everyone has discovered, is that what really powers it, think of yourself, you're the hard drive, you're the computer, And what we tell ourselves moment to moment on a daily basis is what we're programming.
Yes.
Now, what powers that program, what the energy behind it, is emotion, Now, the more authentic the emotion, that's when creativity really starts to flow. And what I've been teaching people is to find that place of safety, of peace. Moms, it's easy. If you ask a mother, do you remember the moment you bonded with your child, and you see this mantle of peace descend over them, you see the serenity, you see the emotion well up in them, and they'll look at you and nod because they can't speak. And then you say, start there. That's your key. That's your connection. And from that moment, I want you to look around you and you tell me in your situation, if you were talking to your son, your daughter, that one that is as important to you as anything else in the world, how would you counsel them? What would you say? How would you advise them? And you can see the lights come on. You can see it. So it's really that authenticity that brings us to the point where we can literally, physically, and easily tap into that potential and really, really bring it into the physical reality. And it's simply a matter of common sense. You know, like if you know the universe card in the Steel Wizard, she's part of the great tree of creation, and her feet blend into the roots that go down and make colors mm-hmm. and are the physical reality, and her arms are stretched up along the upper branches, and her hair weaves into the bark. And it's mm-hmm. the ability to bring that super consciousness, that creative energy into you, and using good old-fashioned common sense, mm-hmm. create with it. So you are that focal point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's what is so powerful about tarot. I mean, I do readings for people, and I think that those can be really helpful and can be a wonderful tool. But what really intrigues me about tarot is when people get interested in what the cards mean to them and what the imagery is saying from their own place of imagination, because that's where that quantum piece happens. When
yeah.
they start to say, I really identify with the Hierophant because these were the experiences that I had in my life. And when I embody this energy, this is what I can do. And then the tarot becomes alive. It becomes more about engaging with the whole world. So you go out and you see that archetype in your daily life, and you realize the synchronistic potential of that archetype, so that it's not flat, it's three-dimensional. It's the world
absolutely.
In front of you.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And something else that's important, too, in tarot that I found is people will ask me, well, what if it's all bad? And I tell them, you know, even a timely warning can be good advice. I mean, if I turn to you and yell, duck, would you look at me and say, what does that mean? No, you would drop.
Right.
Okay? And so
right.
that's when it's important to not just face your fears and name what they are, find your natural aggression, your natural rhythm, but embrace those shadows. You need
mm-hmm.
them.
Absolutely.
If you don't embrace those shadows, I mean, all you're doing is blaming the light for the shadow.
Right.
And that's
right.
crazy.
And the shadow potentials, as long as you're more loving and more supportive when they show up, first of all, they soften, and second of all, they're a great guide because they have this
mm-hmm.
strength and this strong potential of, I will do this, I won't do this. There's like a leveling that happens in that shadow space. But it's we who project the negative onto it, and actually when we repress it, that's when we start acting it out on an unconscious level more and more. So there's like this interesting bridge that needs to happen where we say, what are the gifts of the shadow?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Because, see, the ego is judgmental. And if
right.
we can learn to suspend that judgment.
Right.
Because spirit just observes. Spirit
mm-hmm.
has no opinion. Spirit,
mm-hmm.
I mean, spirit is just the energy behind the whole thing. And the first thing we need to learn is to stop defining ourselves as, I have a soul. You have
mm-hmm.
to say, I am a divine being having a human experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And from that moment, you will. The ego doesn't have a whole lot to say in how you form your opinions and what
mm-hmm.
is and is not right for you, how you choose,
mm-hmm.
because you've suspended ego and you're
right.
observing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think that place of the observer is so important. I also think, though, that, like, you know, the ego is something that shows up to shape us and to protect us, but
mm-hmm.
then the job throughout our lifetime is to kind of not take the ego so seriously, to set it aside, to notice that it's a potential in us that keeps us safe, but once we grow, we don't need that kind of safety mechanism in place in the same way, because
no,
we're
not
afraid.
All.
Yeah.
Well, fear keeps you from standing in traffic.
Right.
I mean, it's a
exactly.
necessary part.
Right.
Fear keeps you from sticking your hand through the fence where the Bengal tiger is sitting there, you know, licking
right.
its chops. But this, too, is not so much fear as it is common sense.
Right, right.
But fear
Absolutely.
Is fear of being damaged is what provides that common sense, you know, like,
right.
wow, really?
Exactly.
It's amazing how it really is considered a superpower in so many cases. It's so many people don't have that, even a modicum of common sense.
Yeah, No, that's true, and move between that. You know, I think grounding is an important aspect of
huge.
It too. You know,
huge.
Yeah. So awesome, very cool. So, what else do you want to say? We don't have a lot more time, but is there anything else that you want to share at this point about all the work that you're doing?
In regards to the apocalypse, I mean, we've all heard about end times, you know, blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
blah. We, you know, it conjures up pictures of destruction and global disasters, et cetera, et
yeah.
cetera. But what it is we've come to the end of the age of Pisces, and we are now living in the age of Aquarius, which is the age of enlightenment.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
This is just a natural cosmic cycle. It's the way it works. It's the same idea as if a wave comes in and does its little wave around on the beach, and then it starts to recede. Well, it takes
mm-hmm.
with it part of the sand and some of the shells and anything it can grab a hold of, which is what Pisces, the age of duality, is doing now, which
mm-hmm.
is why it seems to be such a classic bipolar symptom when it comes to
yeah.
the planet itself right now.
Uh-huh.
When it all comes down to the bottom line, we are in the age of Aquarius, and this is the age of enlightenment, and duality is not getting fed. The codependent, you know, you're right, I'm wrong kind of thing doesn't work anymore.
Right.
And this yeah. is where we're taking it. This is where I use tarot, other people use other modalities, and it's all good.
Yeah.
It all works.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's wonderful. Well, I want to make sure that people know how to get a hold of you for your work, for the webinars that you're doing, where to find you for the tarot, it's not tarot pets, remind me what it's called. It's called
the webinar
Wizard
or Tarot
Pets.
Apocalypse?
Pardon Wizard me? Pets. All of it.
Oh,
just all of it. Just,
Facebook.
Just give me your info. So
Facebook
can get a hold
is
of
the best way. Pamela Steele on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
The Wizard's Pets have their own website. It's just wizardspets.com, all one word, WIZARDSPETS.com. Steel Wizards, the same thing. It's just steelwizard.com. And all of those places have got links to my email.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I also want to tell the listening audience that I did have some technical glitches tonight, but I will get this link up on my page so you can start sharing it, and I'll get one for you, too, on your page, Pamela, so
Thank
you can
you.
Share it. And I'll probably put it on the deck creators, if that's okay as well.
Please do. Please do. That
awesome.
Would be awesome.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining Inner Voice tonight, and thanks for sharing all your wisdom and all your creativity, and really enjoyed it.
Jennifer, thank you. This has been, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, always.
I feel the same way. Have a great evening, Pamela.
Thank you. You too, Beth.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. Check out the archives. There are about 2 years of back archives of the show. Just go on to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour, and you can find all of those archives, everything from chakras to archetypes, specific archetypes like the trickster, astrology, artists who have followed their inner voice. So check that out. And whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, create magic, align with magic, feel magic, and share magic, because that's what we're here for. Have a great evening, everybody. Bye now.